Grace and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Why don't more people come to worship? Why are there so many empty pews in sanctuaries across America each and every Sunday? Why is the church the last place that many folks would ever go to look for a sense of peace and hope and acceptance? I'll tell you why. Because their idea of what the church is, and therefore their idea of who God is, has been conditioned by experiences that have left a bad taste in their mouth. Too many individuals have been hurt by the church rather than helped by the church. Too many have been rejected rather than accepted. I think too often in our efforts to teach about godly living, too many times we have been anything but a godly example. And so there are many out in the world who have concluded that thus God is a God who is very harsh and very judgmental, because that's what they have seen the church be. But that in no way is who Jesus was, nor who he came to be. When the Old Testament speaks of the coming Messiah, it always spoke of him as being a blessing. When the angel announced the birth of Christ to the shepherds, they spoke of that in terms of good news and great joy. When Jesus quoted from the book of the prophet Isaiah in our text this morning in the gospel, that which had been written many years before to foretell his mission and his work, the life that he would live, it spoke of good news and freedom and the Lord's favor. The name of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus and the presence of Jesus is not supposed to evoke anger and guilt and defensiveness. It's supposed to be a source of solace, not a source of suffering. As we sang in our sermon hymn just a few moments ago, the name of Jesus, it makes the wounded spirit whole and calms the heart's unrest. 'Tis manna to the hungry soul, and to the weary, rest. So why is it then that our sanctuaries weren't bursting at the seams following the attacks on our country back in September 11th of 2001. Why weren't we the ones that the people of this nation flocked to in the wake of the tragedy up in Connecticut at those school shootings? Because most people don't know that our message is a message of hope. And it's a message of healing. Most people don't realize that the church exists to proclaim good news to the poor, freedom for the captives, sight for the blind, liberty to those who are oppressed. That is the God-given mission and purpose for which we exist. We are here for the sake and for the salvation of all those people out there. But most people in the world don't know that, because many of our own members don't know that. And if we don't know it, how are we supposed to tell it or be it to anyone else? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul states these words. He says, "Now you," talking to the church at Corinth, "now you are the body of Christ, and individually are members of it. Therefore, if Christ Jesus was anointed to proclaim good news, then it stands to reason that we, as his body, have also been anointed to proclaim good news." And what does that good news consist of? Scriptures are very clear, very specific. It's the good news of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. The good news is not, let me say that again, the good news is not that in order to join our community of faith, you must first align your life with the Ten Commandments, and you must faithfully and financially support the work of our church, and that if you do that, then you will be blessed. That's not the good news. The good news and the freedom and the favor of which Jesus spoke, that which we are to live and to proclaim, cannot be measured in terms of worldly gains or temporal successes. Rather, it's a freedom that flows from having already been forgiven of our sins by Jesus. It's the peace of mind and the wholeness of spirit that comes from knowing that we are loved and we are accepted by God just as we are, broken, burdened, beaten and bruised. It's the good news that since God is for us, nothing can stand victorious against us. A few months ago, Apple came out with their new iPhone 5. I'm sure you remember when that happened. It had been much anticipated for quite some time. Some folks camped out in line for days so they would be among the first to get the new iPhone 5. Pizza Patron had a promotion some time back that on this one particular day, if you would call, or not call, I think it was go into the restaurant and order your pizza in Spanish, that you would get your pizza for free. So I practiced my Spanish and I went to the restaurant that day to get my free pizza. But the line out the door was so long, I decided it was not worth waiting for a pizza. Tickets for major sporting events and major concerts will sell out in a matter of minutes. And yet the majority of our churches are never filled. And what we have to offer is free. People wait in long lines. They'll pay great sums of money. They will endure discomfort, and they will sacrifice much for the things that they really want. And yet the majority of Americans avoid the church like the plague because they don't know that what we have is good news. They don't know that we can point them to freedom and to healing and to wholeness of spirit. And they don't know it because we haven't done a very good job of showing it or sharing it. Too often we've been more concerned with the consequences of their behavior than we have been with the condition of their heart. Jesus came to proclaim good news. He didn't come to condemn this world. That was happening just fine with the law. In John 3:17, what I call the gospel just outside the nutshell, Jesus said these words, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." That's good news. That's freedom. That is the Lord's favor. And that's what you and I need to proclaim and to live and to portray each and every day of our lives. Because that's what you and I have already received. That's what we've experienced. That's the umbrella of God's grace that we live under as His baptized and redeemed children. God has accepted us just as we are, broken, beaten, battered, bruised, burdened, with all of our sins, with all of our failings, with all of our faults. He's accepted us. And so now we, as His church, as His body, are to become the ones who are the source and the voice of that good news and that freedom and that forgiveness to all of those who are still held captive by the blindness and by the poverty of their sin. For the sake of Him who gave His life for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.